sponsorship yesterday. And you had just asked out in the hallway about the banner company and stuff, but we weren't here yesterday. I don't know how many of you use vinyl banners at your events or businesses, but there's a company called World's Best Banners, and their website's worldsbestbanners.com. They have photo quality, beautiful vinyl banners that are, they come, I don't know if they're sewn, but they're glued over on the sides with grommets, and like a 4x8, so 8 feet tall, 4 feet wide, full color, is $132, and that includes shipping, too. So right on the front page of their website, actually, you can choose the size, and it calculates the price for you. The price that you see is the sale price. They don't charge you any more than what you see. And I think the biggest banner that they do is 8 feet tall and 50 feet long. So, and that's the most expensive one. It's still it's $980 like that. So, if you get a banner that size, it's I still think pretty inexpensive for something that big. So,
do you send them artwork, or how does that work?
Either or. I think they offer a service that they do basic artwork and set up there. But we work with people that do our artwork for us. So, we just send it in. Usually, it's about a 5-day turnaround, and usually get it to you within a week. So,
how far away do you personally advertise? Like, hour away, 2 hours away, 3 states away?
Okay. Terror on the Fox is located in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's our main event, and we have about 100,000 people is the population there. We advertise as far south as Chicago. It's about 3 hours. Not a lot, just minimal, you know, here and there at stations that we, you know, look at, you know, pick out as ones that we think are hitting our demographic. We do advertise in Milwaukee. It's 2 hours away. In Madison, which is also about 2.5 hours away. So we do draw quite a bit. People say a lot of things. Successful haunted houses do about 10% of the population. I've heard, I don't know if that's true. We do about 25,000 to 28,000 at, so we do more than that. But we draw, I bet you, almost a third of our traffic comes from the southern part of the state. So it's definitely, you know, a good idea to spread out as much as your budget allows.
Now, how do you advertise?
The number one that we do is radio. We don't do television anymore. I don't believe in television. I used to do it for years and years and years. But 4 years ago, when the last elections were in Wisconsin, they can bump your ads, and they don't have to make good on bringing them back. So, good morning, John.
Good morning.
And so we, you know, I looked at it and I said, well, if they're not going to, you know, bring our ads back, I don't want to continue spending money with them. And then I thought a little more, if someone's sitting on their butt on the couch watching commercials, they're probably not going to get off the same butt and go to the haunted house. So we tend to keep our money now with radio and website, and then, you know, locally, a lot of banners and grassroots kind of stuff that way. So,
just curious on insurance, how it works. You run a charity on, right?
Yeah, we're partnered with a nonprofit group in Green Bay, yes, and the one in New Hampshire is for profit.
A friend of mine wants to have it at their house.
Okay.
Now, how does that work? Does that supersede any homeowners insurance? Or?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I know several people that do have haunting events, and I know each city at their homes, and each city is different on what that city or town allows or what's covered in your homeowner's insurance. So I would definitely recommend checking into that. But and then it's a lot of very popular homeowners that raise tremendous amounts of money for charities. So I don't know if they're looking at that angle.
Yeah,
too, you know, and I'm not really sure what the best route is with that, because I'm sure you still would have to get inspected. I would imagine you'd have to bring an inspector into your home and have it okayed by the city that way. So I'd imagine that insurance would play an important role there. You know, it's always, you know, deserve to ask. Right. So, I know there's some haunts that, the Pirates Emerson started as a home haunt. They get so much traffic, they had to close off the roads and bring in, you know, police detail to direct traffic. So, you know, those can turn into pretty big events on their own.
Yeah. How do you find that security? Do you call the local police?
There's different ways. You know, you can obviously hire a security firm. There's private companies. The events that we do, we always hire sheriffs. Local sheriff's department or even the police detail, you know, they're pretty accessible. You know, they tend to work with everyone pretty well. So, yeah, it's just a phone call.
Mm-hmm. How much does Carol the Fox change year after year?
We change about 90% of our show every year. There's a big area in it that it's very cavernous and it looks like caves and rock, and that one we tend to keep up longer just because of the amount of materials it took to build that. But we think it's important to keep the show fresh year after year and give somebody, you know, a new experience each year. I've never done a haunt that stayed the same year to year. So I know there are several haunts that have their theme that they keep up for, you know, year to year. Very successful, and they get to add to those scenes and make beautiful scenes. But we've just grown up always changing the event just to give the customer a new experience each year. So about 90% is the average that we do.
Nice. Start from scratch, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually, right now it's gutted. They have, everything's gutted except for the cave. So, and we tend to kind of keep the same floor plan for 2 or 3 years. It's just we will gut the rooms, retheme them, just switch a couple doors around just to make it feel like you're walking differently. Our customers really remember that, you know, you'll hear them go, this was here last year. You know, if there was a room that we kept up. So if there is that scene, we try to change it just enough to make it look new and feel fresh. So. Any other questions right now?
With the charity, you're running, do you get upgrades for your event? Does that come from sponsors and everything else goes to the charity?
As far as upgrades, meaning?
New attractions.
It's a mixture. We spend probably about $130,000 a year on Carol the Fox. That's our budget. A lot of that does come from sponsors, you know. Not half of it. You know, we do sponsorships for trade of materials or equipment and as well as cash. But we do budget it in. Last year we added our second event called Torment, and that event was just an addition to the budget we already had. So it was actually its own budget because we treated it as its own event. We didn't treat it like, you know, Terror on the Fox has two, it's not Terror on the Fox featuring Torment, it's Terror on the Fox and Torment. So they're really tried to market it as two haunts. Not you're getting two haunts for one price, because that's not what it was. You had to pay, you had to pay an extra $6, it was cheap, to go through the other event, and that's the only way that you could do it. And 62% of our customers took advantage of the upgrade ticket, which was $20 versus $14. So, and it was great. I mean, if you have the ability to add a second event, I highly suggest it, because people are there, and a lot of people tend to try and make a night of it, especially if, you know, if you're not surrounded by their haunts, it seems like, you know, they're looking to spend time with you. So we're actually having a third event to Terror on the Fox this year, too. So, the one in New Hampshire, we have four events up there. The sponsors kind of play a role in it. The casino is playing a role in the development of the third event that we're doing. And it's going to be 3D, and I think that's important too. Because to have, you know, a haunt, we have the eye candy pretty haunt, which is Terror on the Fox, then Torment, which is our real grungy in your face, you know, mean haunt, and then you have the 3D, which is very entertaining, you know, and popular with our crowds. It's, you know, something they always crave, and we haven't had one other than our facade for a couple of years. So it took us, you know, this is my 19th year doing this, and I think it took me about 17 years that to realize you need to do what your customers want, not just what you want. You know, we always build scenes that we like to see and what made us happy, and we still do that, but, you know, it's like the dot rooms of the world. It's like, that's so simple, but your customers love it, you know, and it's a very effective technique to do those. And we never used chainsaws until 2 years ago, and customers love them, you know. We didn't believe in them, and all of a sudden, well, let's give it a shot, and our customers couldn't get enough of it. So, you know, we have a couple of them now. Same thing with clowns. I always thought, everyone does clowns. People can't stand clowns. What a great idea. You know, my wife won't come through the haunts if there's a clown. So, you know, but, it took us, you know, some time to figure out, do what your customers like, listen to the feedback, because, you know, they're your best critics and your worst critics, but some of your best ideas come from listening to what they're talking about. And we've learned a lot just from exit polling and talking.
To do something different, because I have three attractions on one location, probably something very similar to do. And last year, by percentile, most people did the one. You paid for attraction 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
Of course, the price goes up. Most people did 1. A lot of people did 2. Not many people did 3. And I think it's the area we live in and the money. So I'm going to lower my prices here. I want them to see all 3. I mean, for, you know, very entertaining, and I want people to see them. Do you think
that's
a good
thing for
lower prices?
So you offer, like, you can go to your event and purchase a ticket for...
Attraction, 2 attraction, 3
But
attraction.
Not just one of any of the 3.
Yes. Any one attraction you want, any 2 you want, any 3 you want. Then you have RIP and things like that, but
okay.
And group rates. But I mean, your basic, if you walked in on a Saturday night, you would have a choice, 1 attraction, 2 or 3, mm-hmm. or RIP.
Well, I mean, it's. I think it's going to be a tough year for a lot. I mean, the economy right now is so scary, you know, and I think that's going to play a big role in a lot of people's decisions this year. But, you know, I'm sure your customers would appreciate it if you dropped your prices, but I don't know if that's the right answer. You know, it's going back to putting the value in what you do, you know. And from talking to you, it sounds like you have a great event. And like I said, I admire your website. There's some ideas that came from it, or the Nightmare New England website. And I don't think you can sell yourself short, you know? So, I mean, maybe it's just something where you try to find a better way of marketing the 3, you know, or, you know, featuring these 3 events, you know, really pushing that package, you know? I mean, bottom line, you're gonna make the decision which suits you, but I tend to be one that always is, you know, keep your value there, and, you know, if you think your show is worth what you're charging, there's a reason for that, and people are paying for it, you know. I don't, how much do you charge for all 3 if you do all 3?
Last year was 15.
15?
50.
50? Okay. And where, you're in Pennsylvania, correct?
I'm an hour south of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
We have a lot of universities and colleges. I what I'm seeing is, I'm not a marketer, this show I'm going to be. But the people that who hit my website coming from Pittsburgh, they come, bring credit cards, they're like, they could care less what you charge.
Okay.
But the local people do care, and these kids are back every weekend. And I know them, I can see their face every weekend.
How do you charge? What's your step for 1, 2, or 3?
I'm focusing on this year. Last year it was 13, I'm going to say 13, 25, and I went up to the 50 package. They got a T-shirt, and it was a big package.
Okay.
Not many people did that.
Right. And maybe at that point you don't charge 50 for the 3. Maybe you do, you know, 30 or 35, and then just give them the option to buy the shirt. You know, I've learned that people like options.
Okay.
You know, if you give people options, they tend to be happier with that, whereas something they're kind of, in a way, forced to buy. Like, well, I don't want a T-shirt, but I'm kind of in a point where I have to buy one to see this 3rd event. You know, if somebody wants a shirt, they're gonna buy one. You know, but maybe giving them the option, you know, with just the haunts that, you know, it doesn't include the T-shirt. If you're taking that cost out, you might be able to see a drop, you know, an increase right there. You know.
I'm just wrong, it was 640, it's not good, that's okay. That doesn't sound right.
Or
but
just,
this year I was gonna go 32, 20, 25.
If you have the opportunity to do one with the t-shirt, one without the t-shirt package.
Yes. People do get confused. They're standing there for an hour. Well, what they don't, you almost have to tell them what to do. What do we do?
Right. Well, I mean, you can make things as easy as possible. I mean, our biggest thing every year is we try so hard to. These are the days we're open. We print it out. There's the days. There it is. We have a calendar. Every date's highlighted. It's this. It's spelled out. And we get phone calls. I'm on your website right now. Are you open tonight? It's like, it's written in 3 or 4 times, you know. But, yeah, so, it's hard to dumb it down. But, I mean, you hate to say that, but you try and make it so that people understand everything. You know, like I said, your website's such an important marketing tool, and it's your salesperson, you know. So you try and make everything right there so clearly spelled out for them. But, yeah, I understand. I mean, we have our regular admission, we have combo admission, and we have VIP admission. Okay, so it's 3. And but I know there's some haunts that have like super VIP admission, super crazy, super incredible VIP admission, and it's like they have like 8 or 9 different packages. Somebody was telling me Patrick at Shocktoberfest has so many packages that they think their customers get confused, and then they just end up buying tickets they don't know what they're doing, and I'm like, that's kind of brilliant in a way, because you know you're offering so much that you get confused, and you're like, "What the hell did I just buy? What am I doing here?" But yeah, I've seen haunts that the ticketing information is so confusing, you know. So I try and keep it as simple as possible, you know, and straightforward as possible.
Well, then they get confused because they're like, "Well, if I buy 2 attractions, I'll give one to my friend." Much cheaper than buying 2 ones, but you can't do that because it's 1 of each attraction, and they
right. See, and we don't do it so that you can buy 1 ticket for 1 attraction or another ticket for another. You have to buy the combo ticket to get in the second event. There's no other way to get in unless you do that. And I had a friend in Milwaukee this year that he did it the other way, and he really wished he would have did the combo. Because it got, you know, so confusing. And then you get people coming up going, what haunt's better? What haunt's better, right? So you're proud of all your haunts. You want them to do all of them equally, but...
Well, but one is not focused for young, and the other 2 are probably for anybody. But mm-hmm. The 1 really is too scary for young kids. So I do recommend the Challenge Trail first, and then mm-hmm. The Hayride. It depends on who I'm talking to.
Okay. I can only say what's worked for me. You know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm in the camp of believing that you give them a combo upgrade.
Is there 3 combos?
What's that?
Do they go to all 3 for the combo?
They will this year when we have the 3rd event.
Okay.
And that'll be a different price. Like, it'll be, you know, if we're at 20 right now, maybe it'll be 25 for all 3 or 30 for all 3. Our VIP ticket is 30. And you get both events. And instead of just sending you into a fast pass line, we want to create a value around that ticket. So we built this place called Camp Ash in the woods. And instead of getting off the right-hand side of the train with all the general combo admission customers, you get off the left side of our train, you go into the camp, and you're allowed to stay there as long as you want. You can make the night your night, and it's up to you. You know, you can go right away. Go ahead, there's your line. Or you can sit for 3 hours if you want. It's completely up to you. Most people average about 20 minutes. They sit around the fire, we give them hot chocolate and coffee, or, you know.
They feel special.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity. We give them gift bags that our sponsors give us coupons, and one of our sponsors actually provides the gift bags with their logo. So it's a great place for us to incorporate our sponsors with the people that are doing the VIP upgrade. And it's not costing us really any extra at all, but the value that the customer is getting from it, it really, our VIP sales are skyrocketing each year. We only started, I believe, 2 years ago. There's a lot of stuff that, like, our biggest thing, our goal was always, like, the haunt, the detail. The stuff outside of the haunt, it took us, like, the past few years to go, oh, we should be offering a VIP ticket. Everyone else is doing this. Or, you know, the ticketing, the marketing, that really has started to come into play. But we've noticed the compliments that we get. You know, we have people that come and buy 10 packs of our VIP tickets, and they don't blink at the price. It's pretty blue collar in Green Bay. So, I mean, people are pretty tight with their money, but for a lot of people to come and spend $30, and they'll bring their kids. They'd spend $30 for their kids, too. You know, sometimes we have hot, you know, marshmallows they can roast around the fire. And Ash, the one the camp is named after, his name is Jim Ashenbrenner. He's very knowledgeable on our events, and he answers questions for people. And, you know, there's a really good view of our facade show happening. And just make them feel special, you know, and they you see them coming back. There's a guy that comes out probably six times a year, and he only buys VIP tickets. And he always brings people from the businesses that he works with. And for the past 2 years now, we've always seen him. And he just thinks it's great because of how we're taking care of him. So if you have the opportunity to, you know, treat your VIPs like a VIP, that word spreads as well, instead of just putting them in a fast pass. You know, even a tent, a warming tent. You know, we have portable bathrooms by us because that's all we have. And we have private ones just for them. So on nights where, you know, you have 50 people lined up at these bathrooms and you know you don't want to open that door next, they have these beautiful clean toilets that they, you know, that they can use. And, you know, so little things like that really
But that goes with your VIP package.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Their trail's all lit by fire, you know, all tiki torches. So, you know, it's a different queue line, but theirs is, you know, we try and make it special. So, yeah, we light their way with fire, and they love it. It's its own little event within the event. So.
How much is the RF or VIP?
Ours is right now, it's 30. Yeah, it's $10 more than our combo ticket. So, I mean, I think that's a great value. And, you know, and people's time is valuable. If I went to a haunt and I saw a line, a long line, I'd buy a VIP ticket in a heartbeat.
The
warming
tent and the private restroom alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just that perceived value. We try and do a lot of that, you know, at each area of the event. It seems to be working. I think we had our first year, I think we sold only like 400, maybe 500 VIP tickets. And I think last year we sold 2,200. So it was just skyrocketing. So, and then of course, you know, you start going, well, maybe we have to up the price because you don't want a line in your VIP. But the way it works out, people hang out with the front door and just kind of fall off and everything.
Now with the VIP line, you feel, not necessarily at your attraction, but in the general field of VIP lines that are new, are they most likely limiting the amount of tickets they're selling? Or just so you're not irritating people that have been waiting for the 2 hours?
That was probably our biggest challenge right there, because the Optimus Club that we're partnered with, they didn't want to have two lines meet where someone had just been waiting for 2 hours and then someone walks up. So we did separate the lines so they're not right next to each other. And what we do is our queue line ends at our courtyard, and we have this stone wall that comes up. You enter our courtyard. So general and combo admission enter here. Our VIP admission, we bring over here, and we actually have these big wooden chairs that we made that are set up so they can sit and watch the show. So they have another space off to the side that's their area. And when they're ready, they just stand up and they come over. We've not had a single complaint from anyone, because it's not like there's a whole line there, you know, waiting to get in. And you know, we also say our VIP price is subject to change without notice. Last year we changed it 2 times. We upped the price in one night because so many people were buying it that we needed to like back it down. So we jacked the price up to, you know, make people think a little bit more. Okay, am I going to spend that much money to get past? You know, that's important. You want to have that flexibility too. You know, if there's that many people, you got to jack the price up to back it down a little bit, because then you're just defeating the purpose, you know. But we haven't had any problems so far with people saying, well, I've been standing here two goddamn hours, and you're just getting in front, you know? They realize we make it very clear at the ticket booth. This is the VIP ticket. This is what you get. It's clear as day with everything else that's there. So far, so good. In life, I'm sure we'll run into it at some point. Some will get mad. But you know, they have the same opportunity as everybody else to buy that ticket. Yeah?
Do you do anything specific to get people to come back more than once in the same season? Market to get them to come back again?
We don't offer any like special coupons or anything like that, like come back and visit us again. Not yet. I'm a big believer, and I know some people don't believe, but I'm a big believer in MySpace. MySpace has proven to be a golden free form of marketing and advertising for me. And we offer special discounts through MySpace that on certain nights people will come out and they get a discount coupon solely from that. But I know haunts that do offer tickets that say, here's a $2 off coupon, come and visit us again. But what they tend to do is they offer for certain dates instead of just, you know, come back and visit us, blah, 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 blah. You know, come back and visit us on a Thursday or Sunday if you're open Sunday. So, you know, usually your Fridays and Saturdays are your busiest. You're trying to spread that out a little bit. So not ruling it out. You know, we're starting to look at time ticketing, too. It seems to be very popular now. Not sure how it would work with our event. But Eastern State Penitentiary, that's pretty much all they do now is time ticketing. They sell their slots, and, you know, I was talking to Jason there the other night, and he said that they've sold out, like, their Saturday night on a Friday night for people there buying the slot for the next night. So, you know, you buy your 7 to 7:30 window, and then you show up at that time, and that's when you're getting let in. So, I know they do a lot of special marketing that way, but as of right now, no, to answer your question, we don't do any special thing to get them to come back. We just hope they have fun and the show speaks for itself to come back. We do see a lot of repeat customers in a season. So. Anything else right now? Questions?
The build crew that you work with, uh-huh. Like how big is it?
There's 8 of us in our company, and we have what I call it a seasonal staff, but they're volunteers. They're like our main actors that, you know, just love the place. And there's probably about 15 of them that come out starting probably, I mean, there's some of them there right now helping, but they really, end of August, they come full force. And then September, we have people, you know, finishing up on a lot of stuff with us. So, but our year-round staff's 8. And then in New England, so just right now, I have to build the staff, so that's going to be fun. But
do you take our resumes?
What's that? Yes, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Any questions? John, any questions back there?
No, still trying to wake up.
Yeah, I hear you. But
location, how do you secure an application? How do you go about securing a location?
Well, we've actually been pretty lucky. This is our 12th year with Terror on the Fox, so we haven't had to look for one for a while. We've been in places that were old restaurants in the past, old schoolhouses. A lot of what we do is we build on property, and we park 2 semi-trailers, and we truss in between buildings on the back. And that's actually how Terror on the Fox is built right now. It's hard. I mean, it's city to city. You know, you say the word haunt, and they're just like, ah, you know. But you use the word attraction or entertainment. You know, it seems to get you a little further. You know, I'm very proud to say that I'm a haunter, so I use haunt as much as possible. You know, that's what I do. That's what I love. But it's hard. You can look for just a piece of property and you build on it, but I know what's getting difficult now is where we're located. We've looked at actually building a 20,000 square foot pole barn and then going from there. But the village has informed us. They said, well, if you do that, your parking lot needs to be, know, blacktop. And so there's that cost. And then the property that we're actually on right now, 18 feet below us under the ground, is the old sludge pits for Georgia Pacific, the paper mill. So the DNR would have to come in and get some ground testing. We'd have to dig all that up. And so all of a sudden, we're looking at this tremendous cost that we just can't possibly afford. I mean, there's popular locations. You see haunts that set up in the strip malls, you know, for these signs. There's one of our friends owns some Halloween Express stores, and he just set up in an old Best Buy store. It's huge. But, you know, places like that, I mean, if you see buildings that are sitting there for a while, I'm sure people are probably itching to get some kind of money brought in. But, you know, it's, again, it's such a unique industry that we're in, the zonings, and the, you know, the building codes are so unique, like, state, you know, city to city, you know. Green Bay is different than Ashwaubenon. We're in Ashwaubenon, you know. So are the Green Bay Packers, Lambeau Fields in Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin. It's not in Green Bay. But the inspectors there are a lot easier on you than the inspectors in Green Bay. Okay. And we did a haunt in an old school building about 15 years ago on the Oneida Indian Reservation. And our first meeting with our new inspector was him screaming shit on the second floor, and we're like, oh. And we went up and we found him, and he had a bloody nose because he walked into a scene backwards in the dark, and he goes, "This place is awesome." And we're like, oh, thank God. You know, he's like, this is my fault. You know, I was walking backwards in the dark. But, I mean, now if that would have been a different inspector, he might have said, well, we're going to have a little talk, you know. So it's probably very similar to, you know, the inspector, which you got to have great relationships with your inspectors. You really do. But finding buildings, too, you know, the permits and the codes. I mean, we're lucky enough where we are. We're grandfathered in. We don't have sprinklers in our so we're very lucky. If we built there, we would have to. And we work so closely with our inspectors because we don't want any accidents to happen. You know, this is what, you know, we do for a living, so we've got to protect ourselves. Everything we do has fire retardant in it. And, you know, they come in, they do the tests, they do that. They work very closely with us to make sure that we're safe. So, I mean, we're lucky in that aspect, but there's costs involved. If you find an old house, they might make you put sprinklers in it because it's an entertainment event. So.
As far as, like, cost per square foot, like, how much would you say, like, I know, like, because we own, you know, our studio and everything, like, when we were sitting there looking for a place to go, we know that we can only pay, like, you know, $4 a square foot or, you know, $3.75 a square foot.
For rental, are you guys?
For a rental, or, yeah, how much would you suggest?
I honestly can't answer that. I wouldn't even know, what to say. The property that we're on in Green Bay, mm-hmm. we've been there for 12 years, and I think we pay, which candle's up here? I think we pay like $10,000 a year for rent, but we have year-round access to it. So, but we're on is, you know, 12 acres or whatever it is, and it's all us. We have access to all that. So our situation's a little different. You know, I've never had to, in 19 years, I've never had to pay with rent that way on a building. It's always been with a nonprofit group that, you know, has had a lot of it donated to help the event, you know. Like the use of property, for example. So you've been there. Right behind us is where we started that at a different park. So I don't know the answer to that, so sorry.
Thanks. That's the only reason I came here.
Yeah. Need thanks more. A lot, Maddie.
Need more? More?
Sure. Anything else anyone would like to talk about? Feel free to just blurt it out. I know I talked to some people after the class yesterday, and they said, I like to ask questions in front of people. But that's how we all learn. I learned from this. So
where do you get your chainsaws?
The ones that we use are actually from a company called Spooky Props, and they're expensive, but what's great about them, thank you, is there's no moving parts, it's not a real chainsaw, there's no fumes, and there's no idling sound. So you can just sit there, and when the time's right, you flip a switch, it's got a speaker in it, it's just like, rah! Like that. People hit the ground when that thing comes on. But it's spookyprops.com, his name's John. Very, very nice guy. And those are the ones that we use, just because we use them on the train once in a while. And I know one of the first years at the museum, and this is actually why we didn't use chainsaws, is one of the members of the museum brought one on the train, and it just pumped the train full of fumes, and everyone's like, you know, it's an actual passenger train, so they're in there with these fumes. And so we didn't use them, but I like the fact that you don't hear the idlings walking up to something. Something's going to happen.
It's got volume control on it.
Yeah.
It's got just
it's a battery switch. Pack that you wear.
Yeah, and you got the good switch, you know, that revs it up right away, but it's a cool product.
Yep. I think they're, don't quote me, but I think they're about $500 or $600.
That's it. $450 or yeah, something like
yeah.
that.
They're awesome.
And they have different styles too, right?
Yeah, he builds ones for use in 3D events. They're painted out so that it'll look good in a 3D event. There's one that has like a skull on the front, yeah. And then one's the traditional chainsaw. So. But that's what I like about them is the safety factor of it all, the moving parts. I'm sure you don't have that authenticity of a real one that you know revving up in front of you, but. We just use those for the safety aspect.
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah. So, anything else anyone would like to talk about? You have a question?
What are the biggest safety concerns in the haunted house?
In our haunted house? Well, you know, we were talking last night. John was a little surprised, but our hallways are 32 inches. You know, you say you do 42
minimum.
42 because of accessibility. Yeah, we've never been approached. We have people go through, believe it or not, in their wheelchairs, and they can make it through, even in the 32 inches. There's a tight spot in our cave area, but we have off-duty sheriffs that help, and we tell people, you know, there's one area that you're going to need help just. Getting around this corner, and they've always been very, very happy with being able to go in and do it. You know, part of it is the transportation to get there is the train, and like, there's different rules for vehicles. Believe it or not, did anyone go on the Eastern State Penitentiary tour? Remember the bus that you walked through?
Yeah.
They don't have to meet the ADA standards on that because it's a vehicle, and if it moves twice a year, it doesn't have to be that. So they don't, that's a way of getting into their event, so they don't, you know, have to change that. It's like the train. We can get you on the train, but you know, there's a ramp and all that has to happen. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we're very, very much supporters of using fire retardant, being safe like that. And, said each inspector is different, so the more you work with your inspectors, one, it's going to show them that you care and you want to make the right things happen, and two, you're protecting yourself. You know, there's a product that we use that's a powder that if you pour in one bag to a gallon, it gives you a B rating for fire retardant. If you pour in two bags, it's an A rating. New York City Fire Shield, never heard of it, you can send in what you want. To put fire retardant on, they'll actually come up with what it takes to give it a certain rating. They'll send it back to you with what it is that you have to buy to make that rating happen. And I think it's a free service. I think it's still a free service that they offer. I know it was for a long time, but which I think is great. You know, say you want this costume, you know, so you clip off a little piece of it, send it in, and they'll figure it out for you. So
I've never heard of fire retardant powder.
We have a website, it's called Pale Eye, it's PaleEye.com, and that's actually like our biggest seller is that fire retardant. And it's because I know a lot of people buy like the big 5-gallon buckets, and you have to, you know, measure it out and mix it out. But yeah, it's just one bag per gallon or two to make that A rating. And I think it's, Nick, what is it, $6, $7 a bag?
Something yeah. Like that.
And it's got all the information on it. We just hand it right to our inspectors.
It's worth coming down here just for them.
Is it ammonia sulfamate?
I'm not sure to tell you the truth. It's a package about this big.
Yeah, you can buy ammonium sulfamate in 25-pound bags, and that's a great fire retardant. Yeah, mix it with water.
It does it come with rating material so that you can hand to your inspector? Or?
Well, we use it on burlap mm-hmm. bags. You get the fire marshal with a blowtorch, and he can't light it.
What's it called?
Ammonium sulfamate.
Sulfamate.
Sulfamate, yeah.
Okay.
Never
heard of that.
There's an EPA requirement because it's kind of a harsh chemical, but so you have to exercise.
Where do you buy it? Where?
I forget. We bought it from, I think, DuPont.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
But it's great for big.
Well, I imagine, I mean, I know a lot of haunts that use jute netting for their ceilings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, stuff like that would be, right.
Garden spray.
Right, because there's a different spray that we use on our jute, but then you walk through and it's not dry yet and your eyes are burning. Mm-hmm. You know? But, so yeah, that's, you know, you kind of make your safety list, you know, that's for sure. You ask Nick or Ken or anyone else, I will walk through the haunted house every day. Yeah, if there's a wrench built just a little wrong one, I think someone can twist an ankle. I mean, you have to be your best inspector yourself.
You have to do that in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Just a checklist.
Yeah. Well, you guys have to go through a program with the Department of Agriculture,
get certified.
Yep. Yep. That's actually how the chaos seminar that we taught in Las Vegas was formed. It was based off the class that you guys have to do in Pennsylvania.
One of the things that we do at Terror on the Fox is we don't do stairs, and that's a huge safety thing because we don't want our customers to be tripping around. So like Tattoo was saying, we make sure that our ramps are not at a steep incline, and always making sure that we abide by the 1 foot per inch.
Yeah, and there's grip paint and all that, but like I said, you need to be your worst critic. You
only
get in there.
Upstairs.
Think of the most important person in your life and ask yourself if you'd send them through your event. You know, it's dark. You know, there's going to be accidents here and there, but I mean, daily I walk through. The guys hate it when they see me coming. They're all like, you know, I see a corner off of a table, I'm like, round it out. Just that little bit to round it out. Someone scares into it.
Did you ever walk through and find a major danger zone, like a nail sticking out,
yep.
or screw, and wonder how nobody ever got hurt on that?
Yeah, you mean through the season? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We send, before we open, we send our actors through with pieces of 2x2. They go up and down walls, and they're looking for screw heads and all that. They'll come out, we're done. Like, go do it again. And we'll send them through like 7 times, and they'll still find them. And it's like, a lot of it's like if we're using staples in areas, because we're using a lot of staples now, those are hard to see, so, you know, they poke through on the other end. It's not that, you know, our craftsmanship is shot here.
No, not at all.
Right, Nick?
Right.
And Nick's not allowed to use a staple gun while there's music playing, so.
Yeah.
I caught him on video once. He was actually stapling to the beat. He was wasting staples. So, we put an end to that. Maybe I'll put that one on YouTube. Any other questions?
Yeah. We've got, at our attraction, we've got, I'm interested in what your reaction is to this, the quicksand, which is essentially a pit with a bedded, you know, with a mattress in it, covered with dirt.
Okay.
Got a little sign of quicksand. You're walking, and all of a sudden, like, whoa, it's that quicksand. People don't know what it is. And invariably, 80% of the people, what's your favorite thing in the haunt? And we've got pneumatic trees and stuff. Oh, the quicksand was the best thing. What was that? But now, hearing you talk, I'm thinking, wow, that sounds inherently unsafe. And 3 years ago.
Sorry.
3 years ago, when it was suggested to me, I said, no, I don't want to do that. People are just going to be falling all over the place with that. You know, you're walking in the dark, and all of a sudden, the ground is uneven. And so I got overridden, and they did it. And Everybody loves it. We've had one person twist an ankle in, out of 15,000 people over 3 years. So no one's really been hurt. But now I'm thinking, yeah, it does sound a little unsafe. And but
I know a haunt that does that, actually. And they do it in woods, in a wooded trail. And they don't even advertise that it's there. I mean, I think their inspectors know. They don't advertise to their crowd. So when they get to that, it's like, you know. But I think what they do is, with their pit, they put a mattress over it, and then it's like a, some kind of a, like a rubber pad that goes over the, yeah.
Like talking about Wolf, or, Karen Woods? Eddie McLaren does it.
Okay, yeah, that's probably who I was talking to.
And the Shock Tower Fest does it
too. Oh, really? Okay. And I think it was Eddie then that told me they over the mattress, he puts a layer, like a rubber sheet or something that spreads it out even more, so there's not like a hard edge in there
right.
where people can, you know, twist. And I mean, there, you know,
he tells people not to scare near that also, because he doesn't want people running.
Running,
and, yeah,
and right. Yes. So, but I mean, if you had it inspected and you passed, I mean, I would say that's a green light there. That's great. But yeah, I don't know how I'd feel. Nick, don't get any ideas.
No.
I'm so fearful of the F word, firework, you know, as everyone is. But having no sprinkler system in our event, not having to have one, I'm so fearful of it because we built Terror on the Fox to last about 3 years. That's how long we thought we were going to be there. It's our 12th season. That lumber is old. It's dry. We're actually replacing the entire roof this year, finally. But, Kenrick is not up here, but he wants to do a spark fence. Wants to do a spark fence, and it just scares me. You know, and I always talk him out of it. But you know, if our inspectors were cool, you know, we could get it all worked out. I mean, I'd have to be okay with that. It doesn't mean I'd, you know, not think about it every night. But you know, if that's working for you, I mean, when Eddie told me, it sounded like a great effect. It really did. So. But do you put anything over the mattress, or is it just the sand?
It's they dig a pit, put the mattress in, and then they wrap the mattress in like a tarp. Okay. They put the dirt back on. They make a very gradual, you know, it's not a drop off. You go to it gradually, and the reviews every year just amaze me that that's their favorite thing of all the other stuff that we have.
Yeah,
it's
such
a simple thing.
There's like Rocky Point. She had a room that you go into. Probably almost as big as this room, and it's at an angle, and the whole room is spinning, and you have to walk onto this spinning platform and then off of it. Yeah. It's like I'm just sitting there like, how do you get away with that, you know? But she did it. Her inspector's okay. And so, you know, if you're lucky enough to be able to do something like that, like we're lucky enough to have ceilings. Not a lot of haunts are lucky enough to have ceilings. So we tie our rooms, you know, completely in. Ceiling, so okay, we'll think about it. I can see his wheels are just turning right now.
Steve coming
out of
the
air.
Lucky to have ceilings.
We have we build ceilings on our scenes. So if you walk in, it's not just our walls that are decorated, we decorate our floor to match the scene you're in. This past year, we painted the whole front half. To look like trash, like an old hospital floor. But the ceilings too, because we tie the scenes in together. But I know a lot of haunts, you know, they have to keep an open ceiling because of your sprinkler system. So you look up and you see the lights shining down in the light in the scene. So, but we're pretty fortunate that way, you know, to be able to do that. So, same thing, you know, every city's a little different.
Good body bags. I'm putting my good body bags.
What's that?
I'm struggling with body bags. To make them look like really good body bags.
Well, Oak Island sells cheap ones. There's two different styles. Or we've in the past just used brown tarps.
Yeah.
And we fold them together and just kind of sew on the side.
Ghost Ride has two.
Ghost Ride too?
They have different types, clear ones.
Oak Island. Oak Island. Oh, really? Oak Island and Ghost Ride.
Ghost Ride Productions.
Yeah.
Or Ghost Ride Ducks.
Yeah, we just did a scene that called for him 2 years ago, and we just used brown tarps, and it was great. Yeah. Just shove a body in there and get them swinging where people have to go through them. That was our cheap rub, you know. If you're getting one that's maybe seen a little bit more, you know, you want a little more detail. Both the real one. We have a couple of real ones too. From Oak Island. So, you know, but you know, we've never owned a hearse. Not a lot of haunted houses. That's the first thing on the list. You know? But we have a van. That's pretty cool. And it's wrapped like a city bus. It's all artwork. It's people you're driving down the road and you see school buses. The driver full of kids, you know, not watching when they're driving. They're like, watch the road. So it's a great attention getter, you know. But it works out good for us. So hopefully that helps. Are there any other questions?
No. Is there a good, getting back at yesterday's thing, to start out with the sponsorship, is there a good, like we're a 25,000 square foot building. We have a casino that's brand new because we just got all casinos in Pennsylvania. And is there a good direction to try to get towards them, or like a level what we should start at with other companies?
Well, I would call or email their marketing department and ask them for information on, you know, what types of events they sponsor. Our casino, they have it on their website. And, you know, like it said, they donate to arts, things like that, but they won't donate to, you know, political campaigns or religious, you know, affiliations, things like that. But they usually make it pretty easy to find that information. If it's not on their website, you can usually ask someone in the marketing department to email it to you. And, you know, that's their job, so they kind of have to get it out to you and then go from there. I think, I don't remember. I don't remember how I found out that ours was the one that has to donate to the community. You give me your email. When I get home, I'll look into it, and I'll email you how I looked into it. It was a while ago. But I know some of them are required to donate a certain amount to their community every year. That's not every state, but a lot of the states, the casinos are required to do that. Luckily, there was one of those. So, like I said, we've had a really good relationship for 7 years now.
And how is the Wisconsin industry for the haunt business?
It's there's a lot of great haunts in the state, but there's also a lot of new haunts that don't get the safety aspect of it. And there's one right down the street from us, 3 miles on the same road as us. That he's actually in a condemned house. That 4 years ago, there was another event called Nightmare on Broadway that was kicked out of the house because the building was so unsafe.
Yeah.
But the kid who's running this house, his dad is on the city council, Green Bay.
And so, his place looks like crap. I mean, he's...
You hate to say anything about somebody's show, but I mean, it's unsafe. So it affects me. It's going to affect me if somebody gets hurt. So, you know, to have relationships with other haunters is good because you can discuss those safety concerns, you know. His very first year doing a haunted house, one of his rooms, he did it in a mall, strip mall. One of his rooms, you walked into it, and 8 feet tall, the only thing it said was "Terror on the Fox sucks," painted on the wall. That was our first meeting. So I called him up. I'm like, you know, we can be friends, or we can be enemies. It's better off for both of us to be friends. It really is, you know. And I said, our lawyers will be checking tomorrow morning to see if your paint's down. It was. But why be that way? I mean, I grew up through the years of having haunt battles with the same haunt in the city. We're better than you, and we're bigger than you. It doesn't benefit anyone to do that. It really doesn't. And safety being the number one concern, it's better to work together, because you're at their haunt, you know, and say, hey, you know, did your inspector let you do that? You know, it's bound to affect you if something happens, you know, and every year, you know, we all hope for the best for all of our events. And, you know, we've had a really good track record, really good with Terror on the Fox, and, you know, we had a scary situation last year. One of our actors on the train, they're not allowed to go outside of the train. There's steps, and this is an actual passenger train. She got very, very ill, and she was trying not to vomit in the train. So she went out on the steps and sat down, and she went to puke, but she got lightheaded. And luckily, our another actor saw her. She leaned forward, and as she leaned forward, our other guy grabbed her, but there was a sign coming, and it cracked her right in the head. And we got really lucky. Her parents were very cool, but that it just, my point is, you can't not think of everything that could possibly happen. You know, I would have never in a million years expected that to happen. I could have never guessed that. So, you know, be your best inspector, you know, and work with the haunts that are close to you. Northern Wisconsin doesn't have a lot of haunts. There's three haunts in the Green Bay market. There's us and then the two other ones that are half the size we are, and we're small. And then Southern Wisconsin is boatload. So there's a lot of great ones, and they're going to be touring us next year and in May. So you know, hopefully people get a chance to see what Wisconsin has to offer. So, a lot of talent. But thanks for this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one question.
Yeah.
Our vaults have like real high ceilings.
Yeah.
And our walls are normal plywood heights. Do you have any suggestions for covering of the rooms?
You mean for the ceiling?
Yeah, to make a low ceiling.
Well, that is probably an inspector question, because they're the ones that are either going to say yes or no to that. But they do make different fire retardant materials that are, you know, fabric. Some inspectors allow jute netting, some don't, but you're going to have to soak that in fire retardant. But that's definitely an inspector question, because they're the ones overall that when they see it, they're going to go, or they're going to go, yeah, that'll work. So, yeah. So
why are you wanting to cover the area?
Thanks, everyone.